Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. Listen Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on KKOA 107.7 FM or at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Or to the podcast at lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Now, here's your host and producer, Sherry Brackett.
Aloha, good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. Several weeks ago, Island Issues included a really short interview with Sally Anchetta of the Hawaii Public Health Institute's Tobacco Free Coalition about vaping. I had been part of a vaping roundtable in Hilo in late August 2018 that included many school officials, health professionals, and others. And I was really surprised to hear what an issue vaping has become, especially relative to young people and especially in schools. I was surprised to learn that even elementary schools have problems with kids as young as second grade vaping and selling vaping materials to others. Not long after the roundtable, the FDA, the Federal Food and Drug Administration, on September 11, 2018, issued a statement confirming that smoking remains the number one preventable cause of death in the U.S. But in that statement, they said that while electronic cigarettes could help adults wean themselves off smoking, the FDA had serious concerns about the impact of electronic cigarettes on young people. So I thought it was a good time to learn more to help young people and the adults who love them and the rest of us understand more about the issue. Sally Anchetta, who's with the Hawaii Public Health Institute's Tobacco Free Coalition here on the Big Island, is with us again. Good morning. Aloha, Sally.
Aloha, Sherry. Thank you for having us.
We're also joined by Forrest Batts. He's retired from the UH College of Pharmacy, and he's on the board of the Hawaii Public Health Institute. And I'm really glad Forrest is here because I'm really interested in understanding what we know about the health effects of vaping of electronic cigarettes. Good morning. Aloha, Forrest.
Good morning, Sherry.
And since the real concern is young people, Kevin Ramirez with the Hawaii Public Health Institute on Oahu is with us by phone. Kevin is the Youth Electronic Smoking Device Prevention Project Coordinator. Good morning. Aloha, Kevin.
Hi, Sherry. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I think we need to start with what is vaping? And Forrest, I think probably you're a good guy to answer that.
Well, Sherry, vaping is the use of electronic smoking devices, the term you used, or e-cigarettes as people may know them. These are devices that are used to inhale an aerosol. The devices contain a battery. They contain a small area, or in some cases a large area, that can hold a liquid that typically contains nicotine and often flavors.
Do they always contain nicotine?
The vast majority of the e-cigarettes and the liquids that go in them do contain nicotine.
Okay.
So these devices also contain a heating coil. And when a person inhales on the device, that coil heats up. It forms an aerosol with the liquid that's in the device, and the person inhales that aerosol. When the inhaler exhales, there can be a very big cloud. That cloud is often referred to as vape.
What do these electronic cigarette devices look like? And I ask that because I've seen different models, and in fact, some that to me just looked like a flash drive. So tell us more about what the form is.
Right. There's a lot of forms. These devices came out in the middle 2000s, and they've evolved significantly since then. The technology has changed. The types of liquids and the concentration of nicotine has changed. And you might see a device that looks like a typical combustible tobacco cigarette. You might see a device that looks like something from another planet. It doesn't really resemble anything at all like what we would typically associate with a smoking device. Those are called mods, and you get different pieces depending on the characteristics of the vape that you want to produce. But the newest ones are, as you said, these devices that look like USB drives or other very small, very easily concealed portable devices that have a plug-in pod that contains highly concentrated nicotine in a liquid. And when that pod is empty, you just pop it out, toss it, and put in a new one.
Sally, do you want to add anything?
Those pods are what are hitting the market now. They're called Juuls, are very popular with
and
our youth.
Could you spell that? Because I think that it sounds like J-E-W-E-L, but
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, it's not something you wear around your neck. It is J-U-U-L. And they're, like Forrest referred to, they look like a USB device, so something that you would see your kids plug into their computer to do their homework, and that's how they're charged. But the actual part that has the e-juice in it is a tiny little pod. It's about the size of 1 inch by 1 inch, not very big. These are highly addictive levels of nicotine in these little pods. These are preloaded with flavors and nicotine in them. And according to market research, 99.6% of them have high levels of nicotine. The ones that are being sold now that are being consumed, especially by our youth, are very addictive.
So when you talk about flavors, what are you talking about?
Flavors are the flavor of the aerosol as they inhale it. So what's different about e-cigarettes compared to traditional cigarettes that we know as that harmful cancer stick that we tried and made us cough, these don't exist with these products. They taste good to the kids.
What are the flavors?
I'm glad you asked. I just did a little bit of research of our top flavors. Fairy Fog, Gummy Berry, Cotton Candy, Cookies and Cream, Insane Candy Cane. We're going into Christmas season, so they are very seasonal flavors. Monster e-liquid, which is called Demon Energy, and a very popular one is Cotton Candy Bubblegum. Amongst women, a banana bread flavor, and they market it to taste just like mom's homemade banana bread. Locally, they even make it for local flavors. One of the newest ones is Molokai Hot Bread.
As you talked about this, I was thinking ice cream. Do these actually taste like those things?
They very much mimic the flavors of these actual products. They've been marketed to young women to say these are your alternative to having desserts so you don't gain weight. And
that sounds like the marketing ploy of cigarettes back in the day.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, really. Oh, amazing. This is so interesting. So e-cigarettes, as I understood it, first came out as a way for adults who did smoke to smoke less. Are e-cigarettes effective for that purpose? Is that something that is known? And Forrest, you're the health guy. Does that work that way?
Well, we would hope that it would, and there are stories of people who say that they have quit or gotten completely off of combustible cigarettes using e-cigarettes. But so far, the research that we're seeing primarily tells us that people who have been smokers and who are converting to or using e-cigarettes are what are being termed dual users. They're using both. And the level of cigarette smoking that they're continuing with, while lower than it would have been if they were just smoking cigarettes, is not low enough to lower their health risks from the tobacco smoke. So they're continuing to get the health risk. They're getting their nicotine from both types of products, both the traditional cigarettes and the e-cigarettes, but it's not really doing their health the good that they're hoping it might.
The focus of the Hawaii Public Health Institute, I believe, is not on adults. I believe your focus right now is on young people. Am I right about that?
That is correct.
Okay, good.
Our focus, Sherry, is really on kids and what has become a youth epidemic of kids using e-cigarettes.
Yeah, I was really interested when Scott Gottlieb, who is head of the FDA, even said that in his September 11th statement that this is an epidemic. And that's a pretty rare thing for the FDA to actually come out and say. Sally, you wanted to add something?
We've been calling it an epidemic since 2017. And the reason we have, on Hawaii Island, our high school youth use rate has increased by 300% since we raised the age of law in 2013.
Since you raised the age of law, what's that mean?
That means that you have to be 21 years old in order to purchase or possess any tobacco product, including any e-cigarette products, even the mechanisms to vape. You need to be 21 years old to have in possession and also to walk into a store to purchase. Nearly 50% of our high school students have at least tried vaping. These numbers are huge compared to traditional tobacco use back in the 1980s, 1990. 1999 was about our highest youth use rate of traditional cigarettes, was about 27%. Before we did a lot of prevention, those numbers came way down and are still below 10%. But our e-cigarette youth rates right now in Hawaii County, 34%, 1 in 3 high school students are using e-cigarettes.
You said 50% had tried at the high school level. You say 34% are using.
Yes.
I know that before we did the roundtable in Hilo in August, you had mentioned that you'd had calls even from elementary schools, specifically Kealakehe Elementary, I believe, right?
Yes. Our West Hawaii Community Health Center partners were contacted and asked to come in and do presentations in every classroom K through 5. When I asked the staff at West Hawaii Community Health Center, why did Kealakehe reach out to you? They said they had a problem with a group of second and third graders vaping together and having the product on campus. E-juice is very toxic. You don't want to handle it. You can get it into your skin, can make you very sick. So the fact that seven-year-olds were handling e-juice is very alarming.
How and where does a seven-year-old or even a 13-year-old, far more resourceful at that age, but how do these young people end up with all this vaping material since it's illegal under 21? Where is it coming from?
Every classroom presentation that I do on Hawaii Island, I'll ask that question. Middle school students are very shy about admitting that they actually vape, but they're very good about telling what everybody else is doing. So according to a lot of our East Hawaii middle school students, youth are getting access to products through an older sibling or older cousin, older relative. Hard to imagine through parents, grandparents. In middle school, one student can get it, but that means 15 are using it at the same time. So it might be just one student has it, but sharing it with multiple people. At high school levels, we've heard from vape shop owners in different town hall meeting settings that they're not upset with not selling to underage youth if they're under 21 and they come in with their parents. So we
meaning what? You said they're not upset. Are the vape shops here on Hawaii Island selling e-cigarettes to people under 21?
Yes, they are. And we've been told that by youth themselves that have been able to go in and their friends are purchasing. We've been told that by vape shop owners that if somebody comes in with their parents and they're at least 18, they have no problem with being able to sell to them because their parents are right there. And they sell to the parent knowing that it's going to the youth.
One of the things that I was real interested in when we had the vaping roundtable in Hilo in late August, we had a vice principal from Waikea High, a vice principal from Kea'au Middle. We had many other school-involved people. And I was hearing that the schools will confiscate the e-smoking materials, and in some cases, when they gave them back to the parents would, right there in front of the administrators, give the material right back to the kids, even though it's actually illegal for the parents to do that, not to mention it's obviously bad for people's health. We did hear from one school administrator that they now have a new policy, which is they do not return the materials to the parents, they return the materials to the police department. So the police department is where the parents have to go to pick up the materials, which are not supposed to be in the hands of those under 21.
That's right. And I believe the reason that parents hand that device right back to their youth is they don't know the harm. There's education that we're doing a lot at the individual school level, but we have to really up the education to the broader community about the harm that the chemicals that are inside these, how addictive they are, the developmental brain, and what it's doing to their youth, and really make that connection that though this is an electronic device, though it smells like bubble gum, it is not safe, and it is against the law for their children to have.
And a real quick interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. Today we're airing an interview about e-cigarettes vaping among young people with Hawaii Public Health Institute's Sally Anchetta, Forrest Batts, and Kevin Ramirez. Really timely because later we'll talk about this. Next week, the FDA is supposed to come out with new rules. Let's get back to our discussion. Forrest, let's get into this. You're the health professional. What are the health impacts of e-cigarettes, particularly focusing on people under 21?
Before I get to the health effects, I think it's useful to talk a little bit about what's in the vape that people are inhaling. The juices that are in these devices, the e-juices, contain primarily vegetable glycerin, polyethylene glycol, nicotine in almost all cases, and then whatever the chemicals are that allow for the flavor to come through. And it turns out that when people vape, that aerosol cloud, it's not just harmless water vapor. It contains both the chemicals that were in the original juice, And it also contains new chemicals that are created when the heating coil heats up those liquids. And it contains metal particles that come from the internal workings of the e-cigarette. These chemicals that are in the e-juice originally, many of them have been approved as food additives for things that people are going to ingest. They're going to chew them, swallow them, and they're going to go through the digestive tract, which has a lot of protective mechanisms. They have not been approved for inhalation into the very sensitive lungs that allow for oxygen to move from the air into our bodies, which is critical to living and functioning well. So some of the health effects that we're seeing so far include coughing, irritation in the throat. We're seeing what's called airway restriction. The breathing tubes in the lungs tighten down a little bit. We're seeing increases in stomach upset. These are short-term effects. We definitely are seeing the addictive impact of nicotine. This is probably the biggest impact that we can see in the short run. We're seeing that kids are craving nicotine. It changes how their brain works so that their pleasure centers demand that nicotine just to feel good. And in the absence of the nicotine, they feel irritable, they have mood swings, and their body wants to feel better, so then they want more nicotine. And when their bodies are exposed to the nicotine, there are ways in which the brain changes that demands even more nicotine as time goes on. So not only are they addictive, but they build up that addiction to greater and greater levels the longer somebody's exposed to the nicotine.
And I just wanted to add to what Forrest is talking about with the nicotine addiction. It's so different than when youth experimented and maybe even were daily tobacco users. They would smoke one to maybe three cigarettes a day, which would give us about 1.5 to 4.5 milligrams of nicotine in their system. These pods, if they go through a pod a day on a Juul, it has 1.5 pack of nicotine in one Juul pod, 59 milligrams. That change in their dependency is dramatic with e-cigarettes.
And is that what you're finding, that young people will use that much of an e-cigarette that they'll go through a whole Juul, what is it called, a Juul pod?
I don't have longitudinal data right in front of me, but just talking to youth that I work with in East Hawaii, they reported yesterday that they have friends that go through 2 to 4 pods a day, which I think is alarming. But to even go through one a day, that means we have a teen vaping 1.5 packs of cigarettes a day. That's huge.
I've been told that people can actually smoke marijuana in these e-cigarettes. Is that true?
That's true. At our Clearing the Cloud e-cigarette conference we just had this past October 30th, 1 in 3 e-cigarette youth users are actually vaping marijuana, not just e-juice or nicotine products.
Okay, a couple questions come out of what you both have said. One is, how much do these things cost?
They're relatively cheaper than cigarettes. Traditional mods are expensive. The big ones that have a lot of pieces to it could cost up to $80 just for the mod. A vial of e-juice is about $20. But the preloaded pods, you can get a 4-pack for about $16. There's ones that look like teardrops, almost look like eye drops. They're kind of a rounded version. There's one that look like a little case that you would put your business cards in, about that size, a little bit thicker. Those are really popular in certain high schools. So some schools love the pods, other schools have other e-devices. The bottom line, they're all preloaded with flavors and nicotine.
Forrest, when cigarette smoking became known to be a bad thing, there was a lot of conversation about secondhand smoke. What about secondhand vapor? Is that dangerous?
We're just beginning to learn about it. Again, these devices have been around for a relatively short time compared to combustible cigarettes. There's a little bit of evidence so far that there is such a thing as secondhand vape, that cloud of aerosol with all that particle and chemical stuff in it does not just disperse and go away. It can accumulate on the walls, on tabletops, on clothing. But we don't yet really know what the impact is, and this is the big challenge. We have a generation of youth who have really gotten to the point of cigarettes not being a normal part of their lives, that are now embracing these new high-tech devices with highly concentrated nicotine. And the wave of that uptake has come on so fast that our ability to keep up with it and understand what the full health impacts will be lifelong, we just aren't there yet.
Well, it sounds to me what you're saying is there just has not been enough time to do the studies that would be required, and also not enough history. I mean, they only figured out that cigarettes were killing people after they started killing people.
Exactly.
Let's go back to federal regulation. On September 11, 2018, the FDA came out with some statements that were pretty strong, with Commissioner Scott Gottlieb saying the FDA believes there is an epidemic of e-cigarette use among teenagers, and it is growing. He said the FDA won't tolerate a whole generation of young people becoming addicted to nicotine as a trade-off for enabling adults to have unfettered access to these same products. The FDA appeared to me to be requiring the vaping material manufacturers to take steps to prevent young people from vaping, and they actually threatened at that time to ban some of the products. But today, what really is happening at a federal level relative to regulation, licensing, whatever?
Currently, e-cigarettes are not regulated. There are some rules that are being developed that have not been put into place yet, and the time frame in which they're being put into place was extended from 2018 to 2022.
When you say they're not regulated, I thought they were regulated like cigarettes, but you're telling me I'm wrong.
They are not regulated like cigarettes, and in fact, everybody who is listening probably has seen ads on TV, heard ads on the radio for e-cigarettes. That is not allowed for combustible tobacco. Regulations were pushed back because the FDA thought that it was important to give industry an opportunity to develop tools to help adult smokers get off of tobacco cigarettes. And it's only recently that FDA recognized this youth epidemic, and literally the terminology that the FDA commissioner used in the announcement in September that you mentioned was that the FDA may need to slow the off-ramp for smokers to stop the on-ramp for youth, because the youth are finding these to be appealing devices and they're finding no end of ways to get them and use them.
Today is 60 days after Scott Gottlieb came out, and I was under the impression that he was giving the manufacturers about 60 days to come up with a plan. Where are we now? We're just waiting?
Yes, at this point we're waiting, and we don't have any strong indication at this moment of what the FDA will or won't do at the end of that time, or how manufacturers will formally respond to the FDA's request.
And I'm going to jump in here, a brief interruption, to say at the very end of the interview, I give an update based on what is known as of yesterday, November 10th, Saturday. Back to the interview. What is the state of Hawaii doing relative to vaping and young people most especially? Licensing, regulation, Sally Anchetta.
Well, at the Coalition for Tobacco-Free Hawaii, we've been going after some e-cigarette regulation for 5 years. We were very close last year in conference committee to limit access to e-cigarettes through taxing the vaping products, restricting online sales so only the wholesaler and retailer could order through online instead of access that everybody has right now to online sales, and requiring a tobacco permit and license in order to sell the product, to really treat e-cigarette products like our traditional tobacco products and how they're sold in the state of Hawaii.
But are not e-cigarettes banned for people under 21 now?
There's a ban to purchase them, but online sales is a click away.
So where do people buy vaping materials? Can you buy it like at the, you know, corner convenience store?
You can buy it at any store. There's no regulation of who sells it. It could be at your travel agent, at your hairdresser. It could be at the standalone vape shop. There is right now no regulation in our state, which is part of our 2019 package, not only to regulate the taxing and actually getting a permit to sell them, trying to limit online sales, but something the FDA had recommended, which we really want to look at for the state and our youth council highest priority, is a flavor ban. Because we know through the youth telling us that they are starting to use these products because of the flavors. They don't know nicotine is inside of them. They don't know they're going to get hooked on them until after. but they definitely are attracted to the unicorn poop flavor or whatever the newest one their friends share with them. So 8 in 10 kids start because of the flavors. And so this year we'd like to go after a statewide flavor ban.
Sally, I understand that the state does have laws that you cannot sell e-cigarette materials or cigarettes, any tobacco product, to people under 21. But Hawaii County has a stricter law. What specifically is the Hawaii County law?
The Hawaii County law around the use of e-cigarettes is you cannot use any vaping products or e-cigarette products in a vehicle if there's a minor in the vehicle, anybody under the age of 17. So just like we have smoke-free cars, we also have vape-free cars. And in January of 2014, we also adopted the no vaping in all of our parks and beaches.
Let's turn to Kevin, because it's pretty clear if the state is not aggressively legislating e-cigarettes relative to the sale of e-cigarettes to young people, and it sounds anyway like education is really important. So Kevin, I believe that's your kuleana. You are the Youth Electronic Smoking Device Prevention Project Coordinator. What does that mean, and what are we doing, and how's it working?
So aside from doing vaping 101 education, workshops and presentations in the high schools and middle schools that Hawaii Public Health Institute coordinators like Sally, and we have others across the state, have been doing for years, this new project that I'm coordinating started in 2017. And the Youth ESD Prevention Project's goal is basically to work with high school students and middle school students directly, students that are in media production classes, to educate them and inform them about the issue of vaping, the health risks involved. And then they'll in turn produce multimedia messages, counter-marketing messages, to encourage and educate their peers and other young people in the state about the risks and health hazards of vaping. So we've been working with 12 schools across the state on this project since last year, and we just released some of their videos and some of their graphic designs this past May under the 808 No Vape campaign.
Where are these videos available? How are young people seeing these?
When our campaign kicked off this past May, the first outlet that we had put some of those videos was through the theaters. Regal and Consolidated operate dozens of theaters across the state. So we put a 16-week campaign out with four videos that ran for 16 weeks at 16 different theaters. After that, we followed it up with a social media campaign. There's over 140,000 teenagers between the ages of 13 and 21 using Snapchat and Instagram. Those are the two most popular social media platforms, and we put video content out to those two platforms as well.
How well do we think they're working?
I feel like they're working pretty well. I mean, from the social media campaigns, the 140,000 youth, we engaged over 57% of those just in reposts, number of likes, and swipe-ups. And swipe-ups means if they see it on Snapchat, they swipe up and it takes them to our website, 808novate.org, where they can watch more videos. There's a news section on there that has all the breaking news about the different studies that have been coming out every week about the health risks that they're finding about vaping. When I do presentations at high schools and middle school students, one of the questions I always ask is whether or not they've ever seen an ad, an 808 No Vape ad, and usually close to 50% of the room will raise their hand, and this is since this summer.
So we're getting to the end of our time together, and I guess the first thing I'd like to do, starting with you, Kevin, is what message do you want to leave with young people?
Using these products, they're dangerous. There's a lot of health risks involved. The first one that we're concerned about is just nicotine addiction. These things have high levels of nicotine in them. It's clear that the kids don't understand how much nicotine is in them because they're mostly attracted to it because they think it's something cool to do. And they also think that because of the different types of flavors that it tastes good, it can't be that harmful. So the nicotine leading to nicotine addiction, which ultimately will make them start smoking cigarettes, is the main concern. But what we also alluded to a little bit earlier in the program is the flavoring chemicals are also proving to be one of the most toxic and dangerous components of the product. As more and more studies are coming out, they're just showing that these flavor chemicals that are approved for flavorings in foods and have not been tested as being safe or approved for inhalation can lead to some serious diseases. That's what I'd like to leave young listeners anyway with, the last message.
Forrest and Sally, clearly a big message has to go to parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, the people who actually are responsible for the lives of these young people. What do we say to them? What do we leave as our final comments for them? And let's start with you, Forrest.
I'd like parents and other adults with kids in their lives to keep in mind that e-cigarettes are not a safe alternative to tobacco smoking. Although people seem to think that because of the advertising that's gone along with e-cigarettes, in fact, we're seeing that these are, as Kevin mentioned, as we've talked about earlier, these are dangerous devices. The dangers go beyond the nicotine addiction. There's quite a bit more that we've learned and that we're continuing to learn about the health consequences, but we're even seeing markers of the possibility that the nicotine and the e-cigarette ingredients may promote diabetes, heart disease, lung problems, and that we don't want our kids to be the guinea pigs for new products that are creating an economy now that will result in poor health and problems in our community down the road because we were short-sighted.
You know, a question just popped into my mind. Are pediatricians, are doctors on board with how dangerous this is? Are they educating their young patients and the parents of the young patients?
From what I understand, pediatricians are beginning to get on board with e-cigarettes. They've got a lot on their plate to deal with the health of the youth that they care for, but e-cigarettes are becoming a big focus for them, and the pediatric group in Hawaii, the doctors who treat kids, are beginning to recognize and focus on e-cigarettes as a problem.
Good. Sally Anchetta, what are your final comments for anybody?
Well, for our youth, especially youth that are using these products and they feel like they can't quit, they're twofold I'd love for them to do. First, they can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, and there are services for teens that are addicted to tobacco products to get coaching and help to quit. Second, they can join the Youth Council. They can go to hifi.org and become a youth advocate because they have been targeted. These products are no longer marketed to adults. It is clear that they're being marketed to children, young children, in fact. They can be a voice for their generation. Secondly, I want parents, if they're listening to this, especially grandparents, talk to your kids. We see kids asking, especially grandparents, please go get this for me. Please buy this for me. It's okay. It's safe. Just let's stop here on the way after school. And they don't know what they're providing their grandchild in this product. So have a conversation with your kids. Talk to them about e-cigarettes. There's a lot of information on 808novape.org. That's a website that Kevin created with the latest information, easy digestible understanding of what these products are to give parents a clear insight of what's happening. And when they walk into their kid's room and then all of a sudden they smell bubble gum or smell blueberry, that's a red flag that your child is probably vaping.
And the website you mentioned is hifi.org?
Yes, hifi.org.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much to Sally Anchetta and Forrest Batts and Kevin Ramirez of the Hawaii Public Health Institute. This has been totally educational and informative. Thank you so much, all of you. Aloha.
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 Thank you.
And to our listeners, stay tuned this week for more breaking news on this topic. We only recorded this interview a week ago with Sally and Forrest and Kevin, but the FDA's new rules are supposed to come out this coming week. And last week in the news, there was a whole ton of information, including on November 9th, a really interesting article in the Wall Street Journal that Juul, the company that makes those flash drive-like devices and controls about 75% of the $2.5 billion e-cigarette market, is now considering not allowing their flavors such as mango and cucumber to be sold in stores. But we'll get more on all of this week. Thank you to our listeners for being with us. I appreciate you. This is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken, and I'll see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui hou.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues, brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us at info@labo105.com. Join us again next week for another Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.